What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her from a YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John. No Megan this week, as she's living the rock and roll jet set horror lifestyle that we all know she lives. But don't worry, you don't have to just listen to me and Zena completely derail every single conversation that we're involved in. Instead, we're lucky enough to have a pair of guests today, also from the Bloody FM network. You know him as the host of Nightlight, a horror movie podcast, Prince Jackson. Hey, Prince.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, don't thank us too fast. And you know him as the co-host of Horror Queers, as well as from his blog, Queer Horror Movies, as well as his writing for Bloody Disgusting, horror writer Joe Lipset. Hey, Joe.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Again, I don't know why people say that. You don't know. We'll ask that question at the end. We'll circle back on that. This episode's going to be a little different as we play around the table with some questions from our listeners. The first one is an email. Hi, Johnny here. Quick question. I need a horror TV series that will scare the crap out of me. What do you recommend? I already watched Last of Us, From, The Fall of the House of Usher, Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, Hannibal, Evil, Yellow Jackets, American Horror Story, and The Terror. So, most of them. Perfect.
Okay.
But I have no doubt that we have a few more suggestions around the table. Joe, let's start with you.
Okay, so because they mentioned From, I'm going to go with a like-minded series from M. Night Shyamalan from a couple of years ago called Wayward Pines.
Nice.
It's a town that has creatures that attack it at night. There's mysteries. It's a bunch about figuring out what's going on. And, you know, it's short and sweet. It only lasted two seasons, but I actually quite like this one.
Awesome.
Nice pick. How about you, Prince?
For me, I'm out of cross, but I guess I'll just say both. One, 30 Coins. 30 Coins is amazing TV show that I feel like definitely does not get enough love. But I'm a huge fan of 30 Coins. It has these amazing creature design. And it's just something about it that just literally just, I don't know, just feels like it stays with you. Like it's such a good show. It's such a good show. Oh my God. I would also say, Marianne, as well. Marianne is.
I knew you were gonna phenomenal. Say
that. I have to. I have to.
If you didn't say it, I assume Zeno was gonna say it. Yeah. So
because it's a good pick.
It's so good. It's so good. Marianne. It's just downright creepy. Probably one of my favorite horror TV shows out. So I highly suggest Marianne. It's fantastic. Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Yeah, all right, you're up, Zena.
Okay, well, Johnny, thank you for the question. First, I'm going to say something more weird, but it still kind of creeps me out. Brand new cherry flavor from 2021 on Netflix. There's a particular episode that just lives in my soul forever. So there's that one. And then I'm going to go with another series on Max now. It's called Folklore from 2018. I didn't watch the second season yet, but the first season creeped me out. It's like Asian superstition, folklore type myths going on. Each episode is from a different director in a different country. So highly recommend that one.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know about scare the crap out of you, but one that I really loved is Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
Ooh. Oh, so good. Yeah.
Top to bottom, especially the cast that they got involved in it was just fantastic. Kind of every episode, you know, kind of started out like, okay, let's see where it's going to go. And by the end, I was like, I am so happy I watched this. So hopefully more of that. I have no idea if that's projected to come back for another season or not, but I sure
really
hope
so. Really hope so. Who knows with Netflix at this point?
They'll just spend another $100 million on some random heist movie or zombie movie or something like that instead.
Zack Snyder has to eat.
Yeah, poor guy.
I love that he loves zombie babies, you know? It's like his signature.
And slow motion inside of slow motion. Oh, boy. His movie runtime is about 35 minutes at this point.
Easily.
All right, next question. Hey, hey, Dark Trio. Happy New Year's. I'm ready to fall down the rabbit hole of Aussie horror movies. Can you recommend me a few of your favorite Aussie horror movies? I want to binge these ASAP. Appreciate you, Joy in Dallas. I'll go ahead and start because I've got like one, and it's the easiest one as far as I'm concerned, and it's Wolf
Just
Creek.
Just one?
You know, I bet that I've watched several. But with the exception of Wolf Creek and one other that someone else will probably name, the closest I come to that, it was the documentary that I've talked about on the show before, Not Quite Hollywood, which is a fantastic documentary on the Australian horror scene and movie scene and movie boom because of the tax rates and tax refunds that they got. But yeah, it's a big blind spot. It's like holiday horror for me. I know it's there. I just don't. But yeah, Wolf Creek, insanely disturbing, intense the entire time, and the head
honestly,
on a stick
a good
scene
pick still, though.
Is rough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good pick.
Okay, so let's do a reverse. So Zena, what are you up to?
So I do have two. So I have Patrick from 1978. I really love this one so much. I highly recommend it. Checking it out. There is a remake. I don't know if I've seen that one, though, so I can't tell you if it's good or not. Any of you guys see the remake from
Sequel, wasn't it? I thought it was like a sequel that they shot in England or Italy or something.
Maybe it was. It's been a while. It came out maybe in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14.
2013. I believe it was 2013. It was Evil Awakens is what it was called.
That's a spicy title. But yeah, so I like that one. And then the other one is one of my favorites. We all have those horror movies that we are obsessed with. And Allison's Birthday from 1981 is 100% my jam. It has everything that I love. There is a Ouija board. Someone gets possessed. There's a cult of devil worshipers. So it's just one of those magical like movies about this girl on her 19th birthday. She goes back home, even though some spirit told her not to go home. She goes home, and then some freaky stuff happens.
Such a Zena pick.
It is.
Nice. How about you, Prince?
For me, the list could go on and on, so I'm gonna definitely shorten it. But I would say Hounds of Love. I'm a huge fan of Hounds of Love. I think it's just such an eerie, creepy kidnap flick. It is.
Yeah.
It's really good. Love Hell to Love.
But all the content warnings for that one.
100%. Yes. I would also say The Nightingale as well, which is, I guess, a little bit, almost kind of a bit of a cop out. It's made by an Australian director.
Genre adjacent.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's made by an Australian director. It's Jennifer Kent, who made The Babadook. She was also in Cabinet of Curiosities as well. But The Nightingale is something that I have yet to rewatch because it is brutal. It is a very brutal flick, but probably one of the best flicks I've seen from her to date was The Nightingale for me personally. But yeah, that would be mine for sure. Those two.
Awesome. How are you, Joe?
Okay, well, I'm going to rep some very obvious ones. So I'll go with Rogue, which is the 2007 Crocodile film. There we go.
I was this close. Yeah.
That's why I was kind of glad I was last. I'm like, you know what? I'll just do all the obvious ones. So I'll also go with The Loved Ones from 2009.
That was my other one that I was going to say. Yeah.
So good. I will also go with Relic, the dementia thriller. Natalie Erica James. I'm waiting for her next film. It's supposed to be a remake of Rosemary's Baby, and it's maybe coming out this year.
Oh, I just got chills. Oh my god.
Yeah, I remember that was a big one for Megan too. Like that was a hard hitter.
Oh, it's rough. If you've lost a parent, do not watch.
I also forgot Razorback. Yay.
Razorback. There you go.
Australia's deep cuts are so many good horror films from there.
Truly. Yeah. Special shout out to The Tunnel as well. Gotta give a special shout out.
Oh, I love The
one.
Tunnel. Yeah. I just discovered that one a couple months ago. That was a much better found footage movie than I was expecting.
Yeah. It's pretty much their version of The Blair Witch, which I really enjoy.
Ooh. All right. Now we're going to roll into some topics curated by our own Xena. We're going to start out with the first one. What are your favorite silly horror tropes? Silly horror tropes. They're all silly, but they're still awesome. All right, Xena, it was your question. Let's start with you. What's some of your favorite silly horror tropes?
I have so many, but two has been working for me so far this episode, so I'm gonna give you guys two. So the first one is saying hello in the dark, asking, just saying hello, anyone there, like, do you think the person's gonna say yeah? You know, can you imagine? That'd be pretty cool. But hey. And it bothers me, like, why are you saying hello? Like, just run at this point. And then, like, the random tripping on air, like, it really, like, bothers me. I forgot which movie I was watching last night. It was a full moon indie, very indie movie last night on Tubi. I fell down that rabbit hole. And some girl, she tripped over like literally nothing. And I mean, I was screaming at the screen because it's just like, what are you doing? But I will say this, I'm not gonna lie. If that were me, like if I was in a horror movie, honestly, I'd probably trip too over because I get nervous and I would collapse. My legs become noodles. So, but those are just the two that popped up for me.
Yeah, Xena, let's be a little more specific on that. You wouldn't trip. You would just fall down and wait to die.
I probably would. I would probably just collapse in a corner and just sit there. Please help me. Somebody.
And maybe the killer would take pity on you and be like, this isn't fun. And then just like keep walking.
I hope so. I'm so scared.
Joe, how about your favorite tropes?
So mine is an action movie crossover. I love it when a horror movie gives me a character title card. So I'm thinking principally of The Faculty. When we're introducing characters, it's like, stop everything. We need to give these people their badass moment and also helpfully tell you their fucking name.
Yes.
Good point. That's awesome.
Very Suicide Squad. Like,
right, yes.
Just real quick, just let you know.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that. I never thought about that before. The number of times that we've discussed movies on this podcast, I'm like, I don't remember what that person's name is.
No. And don't make me wait 45 minutes.
For one person to say their name.
They did that in that movie. Is it See No Evil from 2005 or 6? or seven.
God, they did a lot of things.
I love your escalating.
How about you, Prince?
For me, I was thinking about this a little bit ago, and for me, I was thinking of tripping as well. I mainly Ghostface, right? Like when the killer trips and the killer's not like bulletproof. I really like that trope. But I think one trope that I also really enjoy would have to be the running away from stressful situations trope. So, okay. Sit with me on this one. All right. Let's picture the scene. Okay. We have Sydney Prescott talking to Billy. And when she's talking to Billy, learning about all the whole situations of what's happening, and the mother gets brought up and all this and that, and then she runs away, but she flails her arms as she runs away. That's the first thing that pops into my head. And I was recently looking at a few things that happened in The Faculty, that happened in Scream, a lot of 90s teen horror movies, it has happened quite frequently. And I was just like, wow, I guess we don't really deal well with stressful situations as millennials, and it's always been present. So, yeah, that is one of my favorite. It is top tier comedy / I'd probably be the same way.
I don't think Jim is emphasized as much as it used to be anymore, so there's not a lot of good running form, really. Like Gen Z is in trouble. I don't know what Gen Z is going to do.
You got to look at a Tom Cruise movie and pump those arms.
Gen Z horror movies are going to be real bored. It's just going to be people videotaping the killer coming at them, like live streaming as they get killed. That's all.
I'm going to go viral.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake, yeah. Right? I mean, totally. Like in 2022, they had it right. They're like, I'm pretty sure Gen Z would probably be like that.
I actually saw this TikTok like a while ago where someone was saying that Gen Z, when they dance, they do not, and this is serious, they don't like put their arms up. You know the songs, you know, raise your hands like you just don't care. They don't do that.
They won't do that.
So are they dancing with their arms down? So maybe they'll be running with their arms down, you know, as well.
Riverdance is going to make a big, big comeback in 2024. Michael Flatley's coming at you. Watch out. I was trying to think of silly ones because I like a lot of horror tropes. I like most horror tropes. My favorite silly one, I think, is just the concept of a haunted VHS tape. Or haunted media in general, a film like Antrim or Cigarette Burns or anything like that. I still absolutely adore hearing the sound of a VHS tape being entered into a VCR or ejected or whatever. There's just something about that nostalgia or whatever it is like that. Yep. Oh, it's haunted tape. Yeah. Let's watch this. I'll totally check this out. I would die all the time. If this is a real thing, because like, yeah, of course I'm going to watch this. I grew up in the Faces of Death handing around the VHS in middle school days. So yeah, I'm totally not going to survive that. Even as an adult with kids who I would tell, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't do things you know are stupid. I would do the thing that I know is stupid. I'd be the first to die in most horror movies.
It's more fun.
Me and Xena are just going to fall down and wait for the killer to come. It's like... I don't want to die tired. I don't want to be sweaty when I die. All right, just
Joe and I will be the trope that would be, stay here. We'll go get help.
And then we would run without using our arms. Yeah.
I like your plan. Good. Thanks. Next topic. David F. Sandberg is directing the movie adaptation of the Until Dawn video game. What are your thoughts? And for those of you who are not familiar with the game, like myself, we're going to be learning together right now. Players assume control of 8 young adults who have to survive on Blackwood Mountain when their lives are threatened. The game features a butterfly effect system in which players must make choices that may change the story. All playable characters can survive or die depending on the choices made. Players explore the environment from a third-person perspective and find clues that may help solve the mystery. Okay, has anyone played this? I haven't.
I have.
Yay, it's a Xena and Prince topic.
But I watched a playthrough and read the description of the game.
There you go. So you played kind of.
You pretty much kind of played it.
You know, I used to bash Twitch streamers because I was like, why in the hell would anyone watch someone play video games? Totally forgetting that when I was a kid, we would be at Chuck E. Cheese or Circus Circus or the local arcade watching kids play Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
Or Dragon's Lair and see how much money you could actually lose playing that game. Deep cut for the older people in the audience.
Placing their quarters right on the shelves there.
Totally, yeah. And at the same time, I will watch playthroughs too. I like watching the cinematic cuts though, because video game cinematic cuts are, especially in horror, have gotten so good. I can't figure out why horror video game designers aren't working in Hollywood too, because some of the creature effects and designs that they're coming up in video games, I understand that it's a different media, but holy crap, some of them are absolutely terrifying.
Yeah,
it's like we need that in Hollywood. A little less CGI cliche stuff and a more just bizarre monstrosities. Maybe it's just me, I don't know.
As far as the
actual video game is concerned, Zena, what do you think about it?
I'm very, very excited about this because I love the game and I love David F. Sandberg. I love everything that he puts out. And I feel like if you're someone, you don't usually play video games, I recommend giving this one a try. I think that you'll enjoy it. I was able to get some of my friends who they don't game, they don't like video games, but you know, I gave them food and then one, you know, just invite them over and we play this game. It's a lot of fun. Also, just a side note, you didn't ask. I heard that Gary Duberman, he is writing the script right now. And it's just like, okay, but what about Salem's Lot? Aren't you guys wondering? Like, what happened to it?
Finish that first. You know what? I'm excited
it
about
is
Until
finished.
Dawn.
We're all just waiting.
What do you think happened? What's wrong?
I think it's getting shelved, but I really hope I'm wrong. But I think it's getting shelved, but I really hope I'm wrong.
Back to the game. Super excited.
Both yes.
Game movie.
Yes. I am also extremely excited. I love video game adaptation stuff, and now in recent years it has gotten drastically better, especially with things like The Last of Us. Now granted, I think The Last of Us definitely made the shoes pretty big for a lot of other people, but for example, I actually really like the Super Mario movie. I thought that was really good. I'm very excited for the Legend of Zelda movie that's coming out. I thought it was good. I thought it was fun. It was great for me to see.
I'm sorry. I made a face. I didn't like it. It gave me a migraine. I'm an old man.
I enjoyed it. I like seeing Dry Bones on screen. I was like, that's iconic for me. But so as you could tell, I'm also the person who likes the original Super Mario Bros. Movie as well. So, you know, don't take my word for everything. But with that, I am very excited about Until Dawn. However, I am very curious how everything's going to work. Mainly because the butterfly effects was a huge pivotal thing in this game. This was all based off of your choices in the game. So if you made one choice, that will pop up with the butterfly effect, letting you know that whatever the other choice was is now affected by that. So I'm very curious how they're going to bring that element into this movie, just because it's a huge piece of the game.
Yeah.
Do we know if this is going to be a feature release or streaming?
I think they're going feature.
Because it makes me wonder if they're going to go Black Mirror on it. Like, is it
that's what I was wondering. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be
smart.
That'd be great.
Because, yeah, otherwise, to your point, that's kind of removing a huge conceit of the video game. Otherwise, you're just literally watching a group of eight people try to survive.
Exactly. You're watching a Wendigo movie. So it's just like, but at that point, like, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen, because another big pivotal part of the game is how many people can you keep alive. Like, you literally got achievements and trophies for either keeping everyone alive, keeping a handful alive, or keeping no one alive. So you got achievements every single time you got to replay this game, and you had to figure out, which was the fun replayability part about it, was that you just had the opportunity to go in and see what you can do differently in order to achieve that initial score of you being able to either keep no one alive, everyone alive, or a handful alive. But if they don't cast Hayden Panettiere for the main role, I'm going to be very upset.
I mean, that was my big question, because reading through the Wikipedia page, I think, might offer us some insight into how they'll put it together, because there's a couple of points where they say, and if this person survived, then this might happen. But I think for the most part, it's a relatively straightforward sort of slasher Wendigo storyline.
Exactly.
It's not that exciting, but it seemed like the thing that people really got excited about was either, yes, that replayability, or the stunt casting, because there were a lot of famous people in the video game, and it'd be interesting to see them come and actually reprise their roles as actual actors in the movie.
Yeah. Be cool to see Rami Malek.
Considering award season this year for The Last of Us, I would think it's probably a pretty solid draw to get actors in now.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Which it will be interesting, because horror doesn't gather that much of a draw from like Academy standpoints, but it's interesting that video games is kind of bringing that as well. I mean, video games also win BAFTA awards and things like that, so they're very high scaled mediums that a lot of people, you know, work really hard on. Not to say they don't for like movies and such, but it should be interesting to see how these castings work. And with all of these people being a part of this game, I'm very curious to see who's going to be a part of it. And I would love to, I just want to know more. I just want to know more. Just give it to me. Let's check it out. I just want to know more.
I'm not going to lie. The disappointment I saw when Gary Dauberman is writing it, when we could have had Larry Fessenden just rewrite it. I'm like, this is a trade down. I apologize.
Yeah, I definitely was pretty upset about that.
I don't envy anyone trying to adapt that. It sounds like it's kind of, it could be, it's gonna be tough. Lose. I mean, it's always, fandom's always tough anyway, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm hypercritical about any movie that involves creepypastas, because it's what I love.
Right.
It's what I play in. And there, video games, like, look at comic book fans. Mm-hmm. Like, how just up in arms they get over it. Like, the news that they might gender swap the Silver Surfer.
Oh, my God.
And, like, just, like, oh, Domino is black in Deadpool, but she's white in the comic. It's like, calm down, Chad.
Somewhere
with
all
gonna
that.
Be okay. You're gonna live.
People need to die on better hills.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know that there's a Until Dawn like reality TV series that's on Netflix. I haven't watched it. It's French, so I don't know if you guys check. Okay, guess
I haven't seen it. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't even heard of this.
Yeah, I'm curious about it, but I just never got around to checking it out.
Wait, it's a reality show?
They kind of have like a reality show. There are like 10 episodes, and it came out in 2020.
20? Oh, I see. So some of France's funniest comics carry out ghastly tasks as they try to outlast and outwit one another while overnighting in haunted locations. Sounds kind of fun.
Sounds kind of different.
Yeah.
It does sound different. It almost sounds a little bit like the TV show that I'm almost positive does exist, but I've never heard anyone else reference it in my life, is Murder in Small Town X, which was on Fox for one season. And then I think the person who came runner-up unfortunately died in 9/11. He was a firefighter in New York. And I think kind of after that, they were like, maybe we shouldn't keep doing it.
But
it was actually a reality show where everyone was sent to an island that was full of actors, and they were supposed to try and solve this mystery, just interacting with the actors and stuff like that. And I always thought it was a cool concept. It comes across weird. You know, you have to be a really good improv actor to deal with someone who has no idea what's going on in a reality show asking random questions.
That makes sense. I mean, that's like that show Jury Duty. And Jury Duty was so good, but just really great improv actors that were just working with this one dude who was not involved at all. Loved
Feel
it.
Bad.
Yeah.
Awkward on so many levels.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, next up, Radio Silence and Melissa Barrera re-team for Bloody Ballerina Vampire Horror Abigail, which we briefly discussed last week without trying to give away too many spoilers, which I think we pretty much just gave away a spoiler for. Sorry about that. Speaking of vampires, it's not really a spoiler. It's in the trailer, but if you didn't watch the trailer, I'm sorry. And I'll...
It's on the poster.
Okay. I feel like this movie's gonna have way more going for it than just the fact that the girl was a vampire.
Oh yeah, it has to.
Yeah, I think when you give that conceit up right away, it's really going to be more about and it's Ready or Not with a vampire, right? Kind of
pretty much
swapping that. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
but
that.
It looks
nothing
so good. Like, it does. So good.
It does. One of my buddies gave me a theory where they were just like, what if Renfield and Dracula, Nick Cage, showed up at the end of this movie? And it turns out it's Nick Cage's daughter. I lost my mind when they said that. And I was like, now I want that. And I'm going to be very disappointed not to get that.
Aquafina kicks the door in as the cop that gets called. Yeah.
I love her, but what was she doing in that film?
It was interesting casting, that's for sure. I thought she was great in it, though.
I liked her. I hated that storyline.
It was
an interesting storyline. And speaking of vampires, what's a must-watch vampire movie for the panel? I'll start this one. My favorite, probably across the board, is Shadow of a Vampire. Starring John Malkovich and Willem Dafoe is absolutely fantastic. It's basically a retelling of Nosferatu from the point of view of the filmmakers. Just a dramatic, we'll call it a dramatic retelling. I think Willem Dafoe was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for it too. Just, you wouldn't even realize it was him under the makeup, like playing Count Orloff, but just absolutely fantastic. It's more emotional than you would think it would be. Like, you actually like the feels are a lot deeper, but it's also pretty chilling and terrifying and very unexpected. It's one of those movies where I didn't know what to expect when I watched it, and I was like, this is like, I love being surprised in that way by movies. Not shocked, but like, oh my god, this is so much more than I thought it was gonna be. Like watching X. Mm-hmm. Like, you got surface level, but then like, you start talking about it with people and you're like, oh my god, there's so much more to this movie than what you just watched on screen. And I love that stuff. Prince, how about you? What's your favorite must watch vampire movie?
So mine is The Transfiguration. Huge fan of The Transfiguration. It is about this kid who is growing up in the projects, and he is just technically, I guess, fascinated by vampires. This came out around 2017, I think. And he's just extremely fascinated about vampires to the point where he goes and does his own hunts. He's not technically a real vampire, but he does his own hunts, and he has this whole thing of drinking blood and watching odd like videos of like animals being like farmed pretty much. It's a very interesting flick, but the whole thing is a very sad and melancholy movie about just him struggling with his own mental illnesses, and it is a really, really good movie. Just really fantastic.
I'm gonna say, I think I went to high school with that kid. Yeah. I think we probably all did. You know, it was struggling for identity, right? Struggling for place, struggling to make sense of where you are in the world and what you wish you could be in a romanticized version of a reality that you'll never experience. Like, I think all of us in some way, shape, or form can feel that.
It's and also pretending to be a vampire.
That too. It's one of the reasons why we probably watch movies to begin with, right? So,
what? No. Escape. I don't need escapism.
Who needs that?
How dare you?
Fine. Joe, how about you? What's your favorite vampire flick?
Okay, I'm going to piggyback on Prince's because mine is also a little bit somber. So I'll go with My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Wow, it's a 2020 film. It's a pair of siblings who have to care for their sickly brother. And the brother is coded as a vampire, but the lead is Patrick Fugit, and he's devastatingly good. But the whole film is... it's less about the vampirism and more about being trapped in a situation that you can't get out of because you feel indebted to family. Just a lot of feels. And so I'll say that one, and then I'll give a Xena recommendation because when I saw this question, I was like, I'm going to pick one I know she loves, which is Uncle Peckerhead from 2020.
Nice. I haven't seen that, actually.
You haven't seen Uncle Peckerhead?
Oh,
it's such a Xena film.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me...
This is a rock band that goes on tour and they need a roadie, so they pick up an aging gay vampire, and this guy just ruins their life. But it is a horror comedy. It's over the top, ridiculous. It's very low budget, but it plays exceedingly well. It was a huge surprise for me.
Okay, can I ask a question without being too much of a spoiler? Just like a little bit. How does he ruin their life? What does he do?
Oh, it's just like, they're always like, you just need to control yourself. Like, we love you. We're not going to try to stake you. Like, it doesn't go that direction until it does, because he just keeps biting people and getting into trouble and stuff. And we're like, dude, just control your impulses.
I can't wait. Okay, I'm going to check it out tonight.
All right, Xena, what's yours?
Kronos. It's my favorite movie ever. It's just a beautiful movie, and I feel like it is a unique take on like the vampire subgenre. You know, it kind of also feels like a fairy tale, of course.
Del Toro, gotta love it.
Yeah, he's incredible, isn't it? It's this was his first feature, like the talent. Ugh,
immense. It's just, it's absolutely incredible, the talent. And he's even said that he was inspired a lot by Bill Gunn's movie as well, Ganja and Hess.
I was going to say, that was on my couple. List, too.
Mine, too.
I mean, really good. But he was inspired a lot by that, and how, like, vampirism is such an interesting, like, call for addiction and unwanted addiction as well. And Kronos also just... phenomenally well done. And you have multiple unwanted addictions, someone addicted to plastic surgery, someone addicted to blood, and so on and so forth. So yeah, really cool.
Nice. Now, I wasn't expecting this one at all, but I love this one. Our favorite misleading horror movie posters. Talk about a non sequitur. So for those of you who don't remember what posters are, I think people still have posters. I don't know.
Posters still exist.
Posters still exist. Maybe, I think, well, Spencer's Gift still exists, and you can find Bloody Disgusting products there. That's not a paid for advertisement. It's just what they make me say. And yeah, so posters. And there was a time, you go to movies, there's posters on the wall, right? Well, there was a time, especially with horror movies, that the posters didn't exactly lead you down the right path of what the movie was actually about. It was more just an artist's interpretation of what they thought the movie might be about. So we're going to go around the table and talk about some of our favorite misleading horror movie posters. Let's start with... I'm going to say the easiest one, because I like taking the easiest questions, because I'm hosting this right now, and it's my right. And I'm going to start with Ghoulies.
Yes.
Probably one of the most influential box cover art slash posters that kids may have never even watched, but you saw the poster of this little green dude in overalls ready to pop it out of the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, I don't want that anywhere in my life.
I kind of like him.
Oh, he's so cute now.
He's cute. And he's cute in the movie, actually. But it's still something coming out of the toilet. I don't want anything to come out of the toilet. And I remember seeing that in the movie, or in the like Blockbuster and Mr. Movies and all the movie shops for as long as they were open. And I don't think I watched it until probably the early 2000s, like a Blockbuster movie pass or something. I was like, where's the toilet scene? And then they're like, there's a toilet. Oh, it's gone. Yeah. It's in for like half a second. And he's not even wearing the little, cute little overalls. Like, he was shirtless. It was very strange. Yeah. It's like, why?
It's like,
did they just show the artist one frame of the movie and said, here, make a poster? It was so strange.
Aww.
But yeah, that's the one that always sticks out in my head. I probably think about that poster once a week, just randomly. It's just there now. Joe, how about you?
So I'll admit this was a struggle for me because I felt like there's a lot of misleading posters, but not ones that I actually really enjoy. So initially my struggle was, oh, well, there were a bunch of creature features in the late 90s that just did the screen poster, like Mimic, The Relic, Phantoms,
totally.
And
Phantoms,
they would just have light behind them, and it would tell you absolutely nothing about the movie. But then I thought, I don't actually really like those posters that much. So I ended up going back to the board, and I picked Mike Flanagan's Oculus. So 2013, It's a great poster. So it's the haunted mirror and Karen Gillan is climbing out of it, but it looks like it's kind of dragging her back. And I was like, people don't go into the mirror in this movie. Like, that's not what is going on. That looks closer to something like Mirror Mirror from 1990. Mm-hmm. So I love the poster. I think it's really atmospheric, but it's selling you this idea that the mirror is a transportation device, and that's not the movie.
Yeah, I just pulled up the image. I was familiar with the other image that when I just Google searched right now with like the two kids looking at the reflections in the mirror.
Which is better.
But not as good a poster. That one, and you're right. It's like, that makes it sound like the mirror pulls people into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally, not metaphorically.
Yeah, exactly.
Not exactly. Something might get stuck to the mirror at some point in the movie, but it doesn't get pulled in. Zena, how about you?
Death by Temptation, because Samuel L. Jackson, he is at the forefront, and it's just like, I love this movie, but he's only in it for like a minute, like literally a minute, you know. I was just thought that was really funny.
Sell it on your biggest star, baby.
Well, and that's how I thought about Scream. Like Joe had kind of mentioned how they all kind of had that same format, but with Scream, Drew Barrymore is the biggest picture in the frame. So you're like, oh, okay, Drew Barrymore's in this, even though she was kind of in a resurgence. Drew Barrymore she's obviously a famous child actor, or maybe you don't know she was a famous child actor from E.T. and stuff. But then she kind of was gone for a while, very tumultuous, turbulent teenage years. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, Drew Barrymore's back. And it's like, oh, there she goes. She was in it for 7 minutes.
But I feel like that's the best bait and switch in probably contemporary horror movie history, right? Like Trace, my co-host on Horror Queers, he talked about how his parents literally went to Scream opening weekend because they wanted to see the new Drew Barrymore. So that's how they got people's money that first weekend.
Wow.
And the Scream franchise, now that's a cornerstone of it, right? Mm-hmm. You see a big name right away in the movie, like, oh. Interesting.
They're dead.
We're killing you off. Interesting start. And Prince?
For me, also going to be Mike Flanagan as well, but Absentia, Michael Flanagan's first film. Absentia doesn't even have the appropriate actress on it.
<Doesn't>?
No. That person's not in that movie.
Yeah! Like, who is that?
This is stock image actress number one.
Yes. And they're being pulled and dragged into the only thing that is in that poster that is remotely a part of the movie is the tunnel. But everything else is just like posted key art.
But even the tunnel kind of looks like a door. It doesn't even really look like the tunnel in the movie.
Yeah. Absentia is probably my favorite one that has the most interesting out of them all.
But it's a really good movie. I really enjoy that.
It is.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Very good.
My backup
movie
was also Chopping Mall. Chopping Mall is a comfort watch for me very much. And that it's one of those, it's night, I'm tired, but I don't want to go to sleep. What's on? Oh, Chopping Mall. I'll just turn on. Tubi's always got that waiting for me. And it's like a zombie hand holding a grocery or shopping bag with a skull inside a tear. Like, that's not even close.
Not even remotely close to what that movie's about.
They didn't even tell the artist what the movie was about this time. Like, it's a horror movie called Chopping Mall. Go. Okay. Yeah.
I do have an extra one. The movie Elves from the late 80s is called Elves. Right? There's only one elf. Just one. And the whole movie.
See, but if it was Elf, it would be too close to Elf.
Yeah.
And people would be like, oh, there's an Elf movie.
No. I mean, I'll still watch it.
And for
listeners out there, I meant ALF, Elf, for those of you who remember. Again, this is just like a, hey, you're old, right? Podcast for me today. I miss Elf, and it ended super dark. They need to do more of that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Elf's about to get dissected. Nothing? Okay.
No.
Nope.
Same with Quantum Leap.
Oh, Quantum Leap was sad too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs never got home.
The dinosaurs was also a very sad
dinosaurs that just go extinct. Actually, that's a fun future topic for you folks. It's like Debbie Downer unexpected Debbie Downer endings in movies or TV shows that should not have had them.
Yeah, comedies that ended dark or that went dark unexpectedly or something like that. How are we gonna end this? Well, the dinosaurs all died, right? Yeah, but these are anthropomorphic dinosaurs that we've grown to love. Let's kill them.
It's TGIF.
Yeah. And let's have them watch it on the news.
Yeah. Watch them, the cold approaching them as they all huddle together to freeze. Like, wow.
Oh, God.
TV was the best in the 90s.
It truly was.
All right, next one. The U.S. remake of Speak No Evil. If you've watched the original Speak No Evil from 2022, what are your thoughts on the remake? And do you plan on checking out the U.S. remake? I know it's a big surprise for listeners of this podcast, but I have not watched this movie either. So, Xena, as the picker of this subject, why don't you talk to us a little bit about it?
I'm not a fan of the one from 2022. So, it was a very upsetting movie, you know, for me. It was filmed beautifully. The acting's on point. It's wonderful, but I yell in general, but while watching this movie, that's what I did. So if I do go check it out, I don't think I'll be checking it out in theaters, not because I don't want to support it, but because, again, the yelling,
you
I don't want
to
be that person and then end up on TikTok, you know, and it'll be horrible. So I think I should watch it at home. So
it's fair. It's fair.
Yeah.
Very mature of you to know that of yourself, because some people will be I'm going to watch this in theater. I'm still going to yell at that screen.
Nice. Joe or Prince, have either of you watched it?
Yes, I have watched Speak No Evil. I liked it. I liked Speak No Evil quite a bit. Especially that third act was extremely shocking. I didn't expect it to go there, but I guess I should have from the title of the movie. Mm-hmm. But with that, am I excited for the remake? Yes and no. I still feel like it's a little soon for this to be happening right now. I was like, man, let's just let it, you know, let's let it simmer for like a good 5, 6, maybe 7 years. Let it simmer a little bit, you know, because I feel like what this is going to do, I think this is going to definitely kind of shadow what this movie did in 2022 and shadow a lot of the experiences of pretty people watching this on Twitter and TikTok and things like that. And kind of that special moment of like, if you weren't there, you missed out kind of thing. So I feel like that might happen from this. I hope not. I'm very pro remake. You can check my Twitter logs. I am very pro remake.
Same.
But this one, I feel like I'm lukewarm on. I'm excited that James McAvoy is going to be in it. I think that's going to be great.
He's incredible. Yeah.
He's fantastic, and I think he's going to do an amazing job. I'm very curious how they're going to position this as, you know, the friendliness aspect behind it, because that's very much a cultural thing from the Dutch folks in that movie. And so I'm very curious how they're going to play this off, or like, where are they going to play this off? Because I was thinking, I was like, you know, California... like, we're nice, but, like, we're not, like, that nice. And then you got, like, I'm trying to think. And I just really hope it's the opposite, and it's, like, in New York somewhere. It's just, like, they're just, like, no one's nice. No offense to New Yorkers. I'm just saying. It would be funny.
They've got things to do, all right? Like, let's not judge them
exactly.
too harshly. They're big.
They're very
business.
I'm walking
they need to get to where they're going.
Every corner.
Oh, stop.
I love New York.
I'm just curious where they're going to place this movie have it be this very... because that's, like, the whole point of the movie is that they're very overly friendly, but it's not weird about them being overly friendly. It's not creepy about them being overly friendly. It's just cultural. That's just how that culture of folks are. Mm-hmm. So it's just, that's why I'm very curious, like, for us to see that in America, it will probably feel weird and feel unsettling and discerning as well when it comes to us seeing people being overly nice in America. So I don't know. I'm curious.
I think if they do someplace tropical, maybe like on a cruise, they can meet on a cruise. People are very friendly on cruises for summer because everybody's happy. There's great weather. You get a lot of food, you know, or even
until
like
that one person gets a stomach bug.
So I see something like that.
That makes sense.
Maybe it'll be Minnesota, and we're not nice. We're just passive aggressive.
There we go. But I was going to say, as the Canadian on the podcast, I could say, oh, maybe they'll be in Canada because Canadians are purportedly very nice, or at least compared to Americans.
It did say North America, so they didn't say it was an American remake. So, I mean, that it could pass off in Canada. So might be right about that, Joe. Might be right about that.
Nice. Yeah. I'm like Prince. I have a lot of the same kinds of questions. I'm not particularly excited for this. I will go and watch it, mostly because of McAvoy. And my big question is less about the comedy of manners and the social niceties. It's more whether they're going to keep the very downbeat ending, because I think a lot of American remakes do away with that. So even though I'm like pro, very... So even though I'm like Prince, very pro remake, you know, I'm thinking of the new French Extremity remakes that we've had, like Inside and Martyrs, where they have dialed back on the endings, which is part of what makes those movies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I will see it, but it's not my most anticipated title of the year.
That's fair.
Well said. Yeah.
All right. And we're going to close things out. This one's specifically going to be for Joe and Prince. If you can recommend a horror movie or series that you've recently watched just this year that you think people should go check out. We'll start with Joe.
Okay, so I just watched a new slasher film. It's coming out on February 2nd on VOD called Departing Seniors, and it is putting the people of color and the queers in the predominant roles. So it's about Javier, who is a Mexican queer student. It's 1 week until graduation. He and his friend Bianca are just kind of over everything, and he gets targeted for harassment and bullying a lot. And then all of the jocks and the mean kids start to be killed one by one, but it's got a freaky-esque element to it. That's at least how they're billing it. So he ends up getting pushed down the stairs, and he develops the ability to see either the past, the present, or the future when he touches people or objects. And it's clever. It's a little bit meta. It's really well made, all things considered. It's a low budget independent film, but I was surprised at how well they handle things like grief. Like when people die, it's actually taken seriously, and I was impressed by that. It doesn't nail the landing, but this is a pretty strong recommend considering I went in with very low expectations.
I haven't heard of that one. Definitely on my list. For me, it will be also a movie that actually comes out towards the tail end of this month, I believe, or early next month. But it's Dario Argento's Panico. It is a great documentary just about Dario Argento and his life in film. And it's amazing hearing about his legacy. I'm a huge Dario Argento fan, and I love, obviously, giallo movies and things like that. But just hearing like the folks of that are in his life and that have worked with him and hearing from his daughter and things like that of how he has made such an impact on this genre of starting in some ways, which it was kind of admitted in some ways, how his films were very inspired by just Alfred Hitchcock and how it has kind of developed into him shaping his own self into being this very interesting Italian master of horror. So I very much would highly, highly suggest that. It comes out on Shudder. And it is so well done. So well done. And I really wish I was on there. But yeah, it was just really, really well done. It just Dario Argento's Panico.
Nice. I love horror documentaries, so I'm definitely gonna have to check that one out.
Same.
All right, and that's the Bloody Disgusting Podcast for this week, everyone. I want to thank Prince Jackson and Joe Lipset for donating their time this week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And the thank you is warranted even more now since the first
one. There we go. We made it to the end.
Aw, so nice.
You love us.
We're very lovable.
We are. See? That's what I'm saying. It was great. It was great. Thank you.
All right. So let everybody know, where can we find you on social media, your shows? Where can we check you out? The content you're creating? Tell us everything. We'll start with you, Prince.
You can find me on X or Twitter X? I don't know. Which is at The Head Knight. That's Knight with a K. Or you can also hear my voice on Nightlight, a horror movie podcast. That is also Knight with a K as well. Yeah, you'll probably also see my face in some movies later this year, too. But can't really talk too much about those yet.
Maybe we'll have to have you back on so you can talk about them more in depth.
I'll be more than happy to.
Awesome. How about you, Joe?
Yes, I can be reached at B Stole My Remote, and that's the letter B. And of course, I co-host Horror Queers with Trace Thurman, and that's at Horror Queers.
Nice. And Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and YouTube channel the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. For this week, I'm John.
I'm Xena.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Prince.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.